What a difference 75 years can make. It was back in 1939 that Frank Capra's Mr. Smith Goes to Washington appeared in the theaters. And I don't think I'm giving too much away if I remind you of the outlines of the story. The idealistic young man goes off to Washington to fight the good fight. And there he encounters the forces of corruption and cynicism. And he fights and he fights, and it looks like he's going down. He decides to take a long shot, begins a filibuster on the floor of the United States Senate. He collapses, but good still prevails. And the forces of darkness recognize what they have done and repent. And all those who went to the theater during a trying time in the nation's history, when democracy around the globe was under siege, could leave, feeling that the system could work. Fast forward to today. In Hollywood's most popular depiction of life in our nation's capital is House of Cards. Its protagonist, a venal, calculating, cunning congressman from South Carolina. He will do anything to secure power. He will undermine anyone and anything. Even the names of these lead characters tell us something. Frank Capra cast Jimmy Stewart in the role of Jefferson Smith. Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence, an avatar of government of the people. And Smith, the classic name for every man and every woman, anybody could be a leader. Anyone could serve the country. And who does Kevin Spacey play? Frank Underwood. You do the math on those initials. His character was derived from the British series of the same name, and there he was known as Francis Urquhart. Some things do cross the pond and do not need translation. But what does this tell us? As we've gone from a place where a member of government is meant to symbolize hope and possibility and service to one where it is the embodiment of all that is wrong, that all that disappoints. What does it say to us? That House of Cards has been a huge hit. That people watch this series rooting for Frank. Frank is a bad man. But we want him to prevail. What does that say about us and our institutions? Cynicism is alive and well in the land, and so is disappointment. But this is nothing new. People have invested their hopes and dreams in leaders and institutions and processes for thousands of years, and they have been let down time and time again. Here is the new man, the new woman, who is going to make everything right. It's in this person that I can pin the future. He is the one Change you can believe in. The slogans go on and on. The election takes place. People are thrilled when their person wins, whether it's a Republican or Democrat. And inevitably, that disappointment sets in. This happened 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. Jesus arrives at the gates, at the culmination of his public ministry. And he doesn't enter into Jerusalem through the proverbial back door, doesn't slip in quietly. No, he makes a statement. Everybody watching knew that he was declaring himself king. For a monarch would enter into the capital during a time of peace on a donkey. The spreading of the cloaks was tradition throughout the Near East to make smooth a way for the ruler. And of course, we have all of the acclamations. Hosanna, the son of David is here. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They welcome Jesus not just as a king, not just as a prophet, but when they say Hosanna, they are saying he will save us. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Messiah. And what are they expecting the Messiah to do? Well, at this moment, when history and scripture have converged, they expect him to overthrow the Romans, to make the Herodians go away, to restore Israel's lost glory. But that doesn't quite happen, does it? Jesus has his confrontation with Pilate. He's charged. And he's tried, convicted, and executed. And some of those very people who were out at the gates of the city cheering on his arrival were in the crowd baying for Jesus' head. The church teaches that this was an event in history. Something that took place with real people. And over the years, it's that trial that has been used as a font for anti-Semitism to point the fingers and say the Jews did it. That is not the meaning of the story. That crowd consists of average Janes and Joes. It consists of people like you and me. People who all too often invest their hopes and their dreams and their aspirations in the wrong things. Those people who were cheering on Jesus had not been paying attention. When he comes into the city, he's not waving from atop his donkey, giving people the thumbs up, chanting slogans, giving speeches. He doesn't need to. Back at the Sermon on the Mount, when he gave his inaugural address for his ministry, he told people what he was all about. Proclaiming the kingdom of God, calling people to repentance, to live into the new reality that God was unfolding around them and unfolds today around us. Jesus rode into the city silently, not passively, but silently. because the moment for decision by the people had arrived. They, you, I, have to choose how to respond to his entry into the city. We have to decide, what does this mean for us? Are we going to invest everything we have in the norms of this world? If we do so, we are building a house of cards. Now, a house of cards can be a very impressive structure. And it takes painstaking attention to detail and a steady hand and patience. One wrong move, and it will collapse. But, Jesus tells us, there is another house that invites us, and that is the house of the Lord. Not necessarily the temple, but the kingdom of heaven. And if we invest our hopes and our dreams and our energies in that house, we will be putting everything we have into something that lasts. We are beginning a week of prayer and reflection that will take us to a very dark place, to a moment when it seems that cynicism and corruption and evil will triumph and prevail. The church asserts otherwise. We claim that life will have the last word. All too often we can be tempted to look at Good Friday and look at the world around us and throw up our hands in despair and give up. All too often, we can be tempted to say, let's skip from the middle of the Palm Sunday service with all of its happy, upbeat hymns right to Easter morning. God calls us on the third way, to travel the entire journey, to encounter and confront the darkness, to know we might be scared, that we might fall away, that we might get lost, but to know that even if we fall away from Jesus, he will not fall away from us. That's the message of Palm Sunday. Jesus is here. He has arrived. Now we get to respond.